Hello, this is Amanda Carlisle for the AAT. This podcast will be focusing on contract management. The purpose of this podcast, we're going to cover four key areas of contract management. Number one, the benefits of having a contract. Number two, when to sign off the contract and to fix the price. Number three is how to manage the customer's responsibilities and obligations. And number four, using the contract to exploit opportunities to upsell and to cross-sell. So just as an introduction, if we think about our client and customer relationships and how much effort goes into selling our products and services, the contract is usually quite a way down the process. And if you've ever had any experience in sales and marketing, you will know the time, the effort, and the investment that goes into managing customer relationships, finding out what is needed. There might have been several customer meetings that you've attended, lots of conversations before you even get to the point of contract negotiation and contract signage. And just imagine that you have gone through that process and parts of your team have spent significant amounts of time selling to the customer and trying to understand what the need is. And then because the customer wants it, not today, but yesterday, and there's a sense of urgency, the contract gets put to one side and the work starts before the contract is signed. Now, if any of you have been in these situations where work has commenced without a contract, you will know, or you can probably guess what the risks are. For example, have you ever been in a situation where the customer has disputed something because they believe that they have got something that they didn't originally ask for in the first place? Or there might have been situations that you've been involved with where work has started, a significant amount of money has been invested, there's been lots of costs around implementation, and the customer refuses to even accept what you're going to deliver to them. And there's no basis for negotiation because there's nothing written down in writing. There's no agreement on what should be delivered, when it should be delivered, and how it should look. So spending time to make sure that a contract clearly states what will be delivered when has lots of benefits. Has benefits for you. For example, it has clarity. It brings clarity and a common understanding between you and the customer on what will be delivered when. Within a contract, it also very explicitly states what the price will be, and the customer has to agree to that price too. And usually within that contract, there's a payment schedule as well. So for you, for your organisation, you know what you've got to deliver, what the customer expects, how much the customer is going to pay for that, and what will be the cash flow and the payment schedule to getting paid for delivering that to the customer. The contract also has many other additional benefits for you. It is a visual representation of the partnership that you're entering into with your customer. It's a basis for meetings, it's a basis for negotiation, and it's also a basis for upselling and hopefully cross-selling more of your services to that client. It also, I think, has the benefit to you of encouraging you to sit down and put pen to paper and actually flesh out what it is that you're going to do and how long it's going to take. So you can be sure that the way that you've costed it and priced it is exactly in keeping with your business strategy and being able to identify what the profitability of this piece of work is going to be. So those are the benefits to you. Let's have a look at it from the customer's perspective. Because again, there's lots of benefits to customers. So from the customer's perspective, the benefit of them having a contract again is around clarity, a common understanding. They understand how much they're going to pay. They understand the roles and responsibilities. And therefore, from the customer's perspective, they're more likely to engage and work in partnership with you. And for some contracts, when the contracts are signed, you might be doing something for the first time where there's a high degree of uncertainty and risk. So to have that contract where there's an agreed roles and responsibilities and an agreed perspective on the risks associated with the implementation is a good thing for your customer and also a good thing for you. It also shows the customer how you are going to facilitate the implementation as well, so that it's a way of increasing customer confidence. In the contract as well, if there's a need for the customer to do something on their side, it also manages that customer's expectation that they have to make some deliverables as well as you to make this contract successful and work. So it sets out for the customer on their side what they need to plan for and which resources they need to allocate. And importantly, the contract from the customer's point of view gives them the confidence that the project or the service is going to be successful. It gives them a clear basis for negotiation and dispute resolution. So in summary, looking at the benefits, having a contract and taking that time to flesh out the contract has significant benefits for you and also considerable benefits for the customer. Okay, point number two, we're going to look at when to sign off the contract and to essentially fix the price. Clearly understood requirements documented and signed off by a customer are an absolute imperative. It underpins the customer's benefits and the business case. It's the basis on which your plans are built. It's a baseline for change discussions, and change inevitably happens within the lifetime of most contracts. Why? Because the business context and the business environment is constantly changing, and it's a measure for acceptance. Looking at when to sign off a contract, there's a balance to be made, because if we sign off a contract too early, we are exposed to scope risk, i.e. the scope of the contract can change even though we fix the price. So this exposes us. The counter argument is the longer that we leave contract signage, the higher the probability that we will have invested significant resources in working with the customer to define their requirements, and yet we have no legal contractual agreement on what they're going to pay and how they're going to pay. So it's a balance between scope risk and commercial risk. And usually, if we balance these two out, contract signage and fixing the price probably comes at that point where we've got a detailed understanding of what those requirements are. So it's better and more commercially advantageous to sign off and fix the price before you get to implementation or building anything for your client. Now, the other consideration when signing off the contract and fixing the price is to think about the cost of change, because we know that the later changes come in to the requirements of the contract, the more expensive it is to implement those changes. So let's just explore why. Majority of contracts, there can be a request for change from the customer. If this change request comes in early on, when you've got your high level requirement specification, it's pretty easy to make that change because it's simply changing something that is noted in the contract or the document. If there's a change that's recognised either from the client side or from your side when you've come to build the process or the product for the customer, not only do you need to change the documentation and amend the contract and amend the design specifications, but also you probably need to change your project plans and contract plans, and also change resources and subproducts that you might already have produced. So the cost of change increases. And therefore, thinking about this logically, it makes sense to spend time up front before the contract is signed to really understand with the customer what exactly it is that they're wanting to be delivered. So how does the contract enable us to exploit opportunities to upsell and cross-sell? If we spend more time in the requirements phase before the contract is signed, this enables us to have lots of discussions with the customer to facilitate them, to help them to decide what it is that they want. And using our expertise, and we are the subject matter experts in this field, we can facilitate conversations to enable us to consult with the client to sell in a consultative way. And if we're doing that, that enables us to build the trust with the client, so the client will be led by us. So that's number one. Second opportunity to upsell and cross-sell is to recognise that change is likely to occur. So successful contracts are those that recognise this at the outset and put in place contingency processes as well as resources in funding to manage such changes in an appropriate way. Now, why is change likely in contract management? Long-term contracts, let's talk about a 12-month contract. When the customer originally thought that there was a requirement, 12 months down the line, that requirement and that need for that requirement might have completely changed. Because in the client's world, their business environment has changed. Their personnel may have changed. Their teams may have changed. They might have had a change in strategy or direction. The customer may have missed one or more of the important requirements. They're unlikely to admit this. But you know that when you're doing something for the first time or something that is new, you probably don't have the insight that you need to know up front what the requirements are going to be. The other reason why change is going to be likely in a contract is that up front the requirements have not been clear. So when we look at contract management to put in contingency and to recognise that change will likely occur from the outset and have a process of managing that change is something that needs to be seen in the contract. So everybody knows on your side and the client's side that there is a very clear process of change management to enable the contract to be flexible and yet still retain its commerciality and its profitability for your organisation. So opportunities to upsell and cross-sell will probably come down to a conversation with the customer or a contract meeting with a group of representatives from the client. The contract meetings are your showcase opportunity. And the better that you deliver and facilitate these meetings, the higher the likelihood that the customer will have confidence and let you get on with contract delivery. So let's just look at these contract meetings. What are the things that we really need to think about? Number one, what's the purpose and objectives of the contract meetings with the clients? And what's the outcome that you're really wanting to deliver? Secondly, who from the client's side is going to be attending the meeting? Are they the key decision makers? Are they the right people? And what is it that they're really interested in? Number three, even though you could be the supplier in this situation, think about drafting out or suggesting a contract meeting agenda. It's amazing how many meetings people go to and there is no clear chairperson or suggested outline to the meeting. How would you feel if one of your clients came to you and suggested a framework? Would that impress you? And when I've asked this question to audiences, the answer has always been yes. So be prepared in managing contracts to take the lead to facilitate these meetings. And the first step is to think and suggest an agenda for the contract meeting. Number four is to gather all the relevant contract material and to decide whether you want to distribute this before the contract meeting or during. It's usual that if you want people to come to the meeting and have made a decision, they like to have seen the material beforehand. What you try and avoid is bombarding them with too much information that it's impossible for your client to read, digest, analyse and come to a decision. So these are all things to think about. Okay, let's move on. I'd like to finally sum up with contract delivery. And I'm going to be talking about five key things on your checklist for delivering contracts effectively. Number one, do you have a robust and documented change process that is agreed with the customer? Number two, do you have a plan and a budget that allows for the changes within the contract? Number three, when it comes to delivery, do you have the capacity to deliver what's in the contract and the capacity to deliver changes that are made to that contract? Number four, have you agreed with the customer they could do without requirements? So have a feel for what is high value and what is low value to the client. This is really key when you come to dispute resolution and negotiating towards the end of the contract. And finally, number five, do you have a clear process to ensure that any change requests are not initiated unless there's a formal sign-off and agreement that that change becomes embedded in the existing contract? So the five key areas, just to sum up, that we've covered in contract management. Number one, the benefits. Number two, when to sign off and fix the price. Number three, opportunities to upsell and cross-sell. And number four, managing that customer's obligation. And finally, the contract delivery checklist. This has been an AAT podcast by Amanda Carlisle. Thank you very much.